Last month on Ozarks, we spoke with Reveal journalist Amy Julia Harris and Shoshana Walter. Reveal is a radio program produced by the Center for Investigative Reporting, and it airs on KUAF Sunday afternoons at 2. Harris and Walter recently reported on drug rehab centers that use work as part of their treatment program. They began with CARE, or Christian Alcoholics and Addicts in Recovery, a program used in Oklahoma that works with Siloam Springs-based Simmons Food. Since then, Harris and Walter have updated that story with a report on another program called DARP, or Drug and Alcohol Recovery Program, which has locations in Decatur and Tahlequah, Oklahoma. They found that a company owned by Arkansas State Senate Majority Leader Jim Hendren had an agreement with DARP. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Harris and Walter about what they've found since their original report about CARE.
Since the last time we spoke, there's been a couple things that have happened. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's developed since the last time we spoke with these rehab work programs?
Sure. Basically, since we last talked, Zuzanna, two additional lawsuits have been filed against, one against the program that we heavily focused on in our first story, CARE, and also its predecessor program called DARP. DARP put court-ordered defendants to work, DARP put court-ordered defendants to work at Simmons Foods and also Hendren Plastics, which is owned by State Senator Jim Hendren.
In Arkansas, yeah.
In Arkansas.
The program that worked with Hendren Plastics, were there currently people working at Hendren Plastics, or was this a few years ago?
I think the relationship started a few years ago, and after our story came out, Hendren said that he was severing all ties with the rehab program. So I think that court-ordered defendants were working there currently or very recently.
Can you describe the situation at Hendren Plastics? How did it work similar to Simmons Foods, just a different industry?
Yeah, exactly. The way DARP works is they would send Hendren Plastics about 20 workers to the factory, and they were making dock floats and boat slips that are sold at Home Depot and Walmart. And they would typically work 40 hours a week or more. And then Hendren has said that he would pay, or his company would pay, the rehab program as though the employees were independent contractors. So the rehab DARP received all of the pay for that work, and the individuals working at the plant did not receive any pay.
So do you guys have any idea how much DARP was making?
What we do know is that DARP was keeping all of their pay. So it was $9.25 an hour for 20 people, and a variety of people go through the DARP program every year, and that was just for one company. They were also putting defendants to work at a furniture manufacturing plant and also at Simmons Foods. So they had a couple dozen people who were in the program at any given time who were all court-ordered, and DARP was keeping all of their money.
So once again, sort of a very similar model to CARE.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually Raymond Jones, who was the founder of DARP, was a consultant for CARE and helped them set up the CARE program.
DARP used to actually be licensed as a halfway house in Arkansas, but their license was revoked after the program refused to pay workers minimum wage. So currently, courts are still sending defendants to DARP. It's often called a rehab facility, but it's actually not a licensed treatment facility. It's unlicensed, similar to CARE.
Is there a reason this is still happening, that even though it's unlicensed and their license was revoked, that their people are still being sent to this program?
So I think Arkansas has similar rules to Oklahoma, where written into the drug court law was that courts are only supposed to be sending defendants to licensed treatment facilities. And what we found in Oklahoma and Arkansas was just that courts are often sending defendants into these programs because there's a lack of affordable treatment options, and places like DARP and CARE market themselves as free for both taxpayers and for defendants who get sent into the program. So courts are finding that it's beneficial just because there are often massive waiting lists at the licensed facilities.
And is it similar to CARE, or what both of you found about CARE, that there's not a whole lot of oversight? Is that similar with DARP also?
Right. I mean, because DARP is unlicensed, there's no state agency that oversees it. There's no state agency that regulates it. There's really no one checking and making sure that the program is operating the way that it should and that it's not abusing defendants who are sent to the program. And that's one thing that we heard time and again from defendants who were sent there when they were having major problems, like say they needed medical attention and they weren't getting it, or were really badly injured at work and didn't get medical attention. They were afraid of actually bringing complaints to the authorities because what they told us is that they were threatened with getting kicked out of the program. And if they got kicked out of the program, they were oftentimes sent to prison. So there really isn't an avenue for defendants who are sent to these programs to complain about them.
So Jim Hendren's company, Hendren Plastics, they severed all ties. How about these other businesses that are also bringing in these defendants to work for them for free? Have you guys heard anything from them?
Yes, we've heard from Simmons Foods. The company plans on defending themselves in court. They're still using the programs, as far as we know. Senator Hendren, as we said before, he says that he has stopped using the program at his company. But just recently, I believe yesterday it was, he filed a defamation suit against the lawyer who was suing on behalf of two former DARP participants, saying that it was factually inaccurate for his use of the DARP program to be called slavery, since he was paying DARP for the work. So there's now actually technically three lawsuits, if you include the one that Senator Hendren's company has filed against one of the lawyers suing him.
Jim Hendren released a statement regarding this report. Can you summarize it for us? What did he say?
Yeah, so he had said that he had initially partnered with the DARP program because he thought that it was a program that was used by the drug courts and was interested in helping these defendants get back on their feet by giving them a job. He said that his company thought it was doing something positive by partnering with the DARP program, and said that he wasn't aware of the specific arrangement that DARP had with participants to not pay them. And he said that his company was doing everything above board, was sort of treating DARP workers like independent contractors, and was paying $9.25 an hour to the rehab program for each of the workers, and also paying overtime.
So the more you've dug into this, is there any way to even keep track of these kinds of programs? It sounds like there's a lot of them, and the state isn't tracking them. And so is there any way to know?
There's no central repository for that, to answer that question. What we've done is gone to individual courts to find out where courts are sending defendants for treatment. And I think that there are some characteristics that a lot of these programs share. You know, there's a big shortage in treatment options, affordable treatment options for people out there. So one of the characteristics that these programs share is that oftentimes they're free or much cheaper than typical certified treatment facilities. And the reason they're free is because defendants who are sent there have to work to pay for their stay. Not every program that operates like that is doing something wrong, but it's definitely something that warrants a closer look.
We've also found another thing for many of these programs, not all, but many of them are religious-based programs and sort of market themselves as self-supporting, which often means that work is required to pay for the program. And many of them are unlicensed and uncertified, so are not subject to government oversight.
Right. So I imagine it's hard to track how much treatment these people are, the defendants that are sent there, are actually receiving.
Yeah. Right. And you have to kind of, you know, there since there are no inspections, there's no outside verification of what people tell you. So we've had to talk with dozens and dozens and dozens of participants to really get a sense of what's going on behind closed doors.
So just out of curiosity, just to give people a sense how much legwork something like an investigation like this takes, can you guys quantify how many hours you've spent on it at all, or sort of what you've looked at so far? You've obviously interviewed a lot of people.
We've spent months and months talking to people who went through these programs and just identifying these programs by going through court dockets and just looking at online court records to see even where people are being sent, and then just backgrounding all of the companies and these programs specifically to find out how it all works. So we've talked to dozens of people from each of the programs. So we spent months and months and months just trying to verify basic facts to put all of this together.
Yeah, I would say probably total it took us about 7 months to really fully understand what these programs are, how they operate. In addition to talking to scores of former participants, we also talked to court staff, to licensed counselors, to former employees and staff members. And a lot of these people also were deeply concerned about what they were seeing in these programs.
And it sounds like you've looked through hundreds of pages of court documents.
Yeah.
Yes.
And lawsuits also helped shed some light on what was going on behind closed doors about how these programs even operated in the first place.
So there have been lawsuits filed before, or are these lawsuits that have been filed since the story, are these some of the first ones that have come up?
These were lawsuits that were filed in response to the stories that sort of explained the landscape of how these programs work and how they partner with these private companies. But in the course of our reporting, we had initially pieced together a series of different lawsuits that that were not alleging all of these things, but little bits and pieces that we sort of put together to figure out what was going on.
And there have you guys gotten any response from DARP about this latest report?
We talked to Raymond Jones, who heads DARP, who said that they're going to be defending themselves in court, and he didn't really respond more than that, aside from saying that their lawyers were going to be all over this thing, is what he said.
So I guess, and I don't know if you can respond to this question as journalists, I suppose, but, you know, Jim Hendren stepped away from this program. Is this sort of the goal, or is the goal to just take a second look at these programs?
You mean our goal, Susanna?
Yes, yeah.
I don't think we have a goal. I mean, I would not feel comfortable saying, you know, whether or not courts should be or businesses should be using these programs. But I think there hasn't been really any information out there about them for participants, family members, court systems, even lawmakers. So I think our goal mainly is to make sure everybody knows about what's really going on. And also, I think it's important to keep in mind, too, in recent years, criminal justice reform efforts have gained a lot of traction. And a lot of that has to do with reducing the incarceration of drug offenders and making sure that they have access to treatment so they can be rehabilitated. But there really hasn't been a big investment in treatment programs. And so the use of these programs is increasing. And so some of the things that we're seeing in these programs is a side effect of that.
Well, thank you for coming on the show again and speaking with us, giving us an update.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
That was Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek speaking with Reveal journalist Amy Julia Harris and Shoshana Walter. You can listen to Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting Sunday afternoons at 2 on 91.3.